News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans. The Utah GOP is sponsoring petition drives statewide to repeal Proposition 4. What is Proposition 4 and why is it bad for the state of Utah, particularly rural counties and areas like the Uinta Basin? Here to answer those questions and more is Kasen Goodrich, chairman of the Uinta County Republican Party. Kasen, welcome to the KVEL studios. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
Let's start right off with our conversation about Proposition 4. What is it and why is it bad for citizens of the Uinta Basin from your perspective?
That's a great question, Steve. Proposition 4 was passed in 2018, and it was passed particularly to create an independent redistricting commission that would suggest maps to our state legislature. And then the state legislature would make a decision on what map to choose.
Or it was an advisory commission.
It was an advisory commission. Okay. And the state legislature had the ability to still say no to that commission and have them go back and redraw. And the process would go back and forth between this redistricting commission and the legislature. The reason that it's bad is because it actually contradicts another part of our state constitution in Title IX, which gives specific authority to our state legislature to draw congressional maps.
If it was passed in the legislation in Proposition 4 in 2018, and it was an advisory board, how did we come about taking that responsibility away from the legislature, our elected officials, and putting it in the hands of a district judge?
In 2021, they went through this process to redraw the congressional maps. And the state legislature made some minor changes to the law, the way that it was written, so that it could actually be enforced. The way that it was written originally, there were some things that were vague and unclear, and so the legislature made changes. They still followed through on that process of using the independent redistricting commission. They recommended maps. Those maps were subject to public comment, and they ultimately decided on a congressional map. That map was challenged by Better Boundaries and some other folks, and in court. And so this year, or rather in 2025, a judge was taking this case, and the judge ordered that the legislature, that the map that they chose in 2021 did not meet the recommendations or the requirements of Proposition 4, and ordered them to go through the process again. So the legislature did go through the process again in 2025, and they produced maps from this independent redistricting commission. Those maps were proposed. They were subject to public comment. The public had the ability to go in and comment, and many people in the state of Utah did comment on those maps. Ultimately, the state legislature made a decision on one of those maps, selected it. But then when it went back to the judge ruled that that map was gerrymandered and that she wasn't going to accept that map. Well, Steve, the state constitution doesn't say that a judge has the ability to choose this map. The judge has no authority to choose a map. But what the judge did at that point is she went beyond and it was very hypocritical. She allowed the plaintiffs of the case to produce a map in court. That map did not go through the public process. It did not go through the independent redistricting commission. It did not go through the state legislature. So even in her ruling, she violated the proposition that she claims she's defending.
Why aren't we litigating this in front of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, and that's the biggest part of this challenge right now is that the judge didn't issue a final ruling on the entire case. So we don't have the ability to appeal her decision until she issues a full ruling. And she's being intentional about and slow about issuing that ruling so that there's no time for the people of the state of Utah to have recompense in this situation.
What is the deadline to make an effect on the ballot to turn this back to the state of Utah with a clear perspective of what they're voting for?
Well, essentially, we've really passed that deadline. According to the Lieutenant Governor's office, we passed that deadline in November. The judge issued the ruling on the map minutes before midnight of when that deadline
minutes
happened.
Before the deadline?
Minutes before
so,
the deadline.
So it would appear that this is orchestrated.
Absolutely.
So we have, it would appear that we have a liberal judge that's legislating from the bench.
Absolutely. And it goes outside of her constitutional bounds.
Okay. All right. There's some groups, liberal groups, that presented a map, as I understand it, to the judge.
That is correct.
Didn't go through. So one of those was Mormon Women for Better Boundaries or something like that. What does the Mormon Church have to do with this?
Absolutely nothing. The church has no part in any of this. They haven't made any comments about this. These are people who are using the church's name to influence a large majority of people that live in the state that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But they do not represent the church, and the church certainly has not taken a stance on this.
Okay, there's some other things that are happening from this Better Boundaries group. They're issuing letters to people who have actually signed the petition with a self-addressed stamp envelope to have your name taken off the petition. And there's a whole list of talking points that they have there that are clearly wrong. What is your opinion on that or knowledge of that?
Yeah, so the letter is misleading. They obviously have their talking points, and they use bits and pieces of fact, but they conflate it with all sorts of other misinformation. The bottom line, Steve, is that Better Boundaries, these other women's groups, they are funded by people out of the state of Utah. And when this was going through even the process in 2018, there were millions of dollars that were spent that came from outside of the state of Utah. This is a concentrated push to turn Utah into a blue state. You can even look at, if you watch national media is saying, hey, look, we're going to gain a seat for the Democrats in the state of Utah this year. This is a coordinated effort. It's the Colorado plan is playing out in Utah right now.
Was it funded, in your opinion, by Democratic supporters or organizations?
Absolutely was funded by liberal supporters all over the United States.
Kasen Goodrich, what is the percentage of Republican registered voters in the state of Utah? What percentage of registered voters are Republican?
It's about 87% of the state.
87%. And out of, what do we have, four districts?
We have four congressional districts.
Out of the four congressional districts with these new modified maps that were adopted by a liberal judge, what are the consequences of that?
Well, one of the districts received almost a plus 20 in terms of going from Republican to Democrat. It's basically guaranteed.
So they're guaranteed to have one seat.
Guaranteed. 13, less than 13% of the population of Utah is going to have 25% of the say.
Okay.
In our Congress.
Right. How will this affect us here in northeastern Utah regarding the boundaries? I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. Will we have more registered Democrats in our district because of these redistricting boundaries?
Well, absolutely, we'll have more. One of the biggest parts of that, Steve, is that our congressional district went from, it was still a large district, but we now have 19 counties that are represented in one congressional district, and we're part of that. And we are including Park City, or Summit County, Wasatch County, Washington County, Grand County is a part of our district, still a part of our district. So certainly we would pick up more Democratic voters as a result of this.
So we have Grand County, which is very liberal.
It is.
Moab. We have Summit County, Park City, which is very liberal. We have much of St. George, or all of St. George?
We have all of Southern Utah is part of our district.
So St. George is becoming Californicated.
They are having
people moving here from California to get away from the high taxes and lifestyle down there, and it's just exploding in population. And unfortunately, they're bringing some of their liberal politics with them. So that area would also likely bring more Democratic voters to. And I guess the thing I have a hard time with is, if we do get a Democrat representing our congressional interests, our interest in oil, gas, and mining, our interest in protecting and preserving access to our public lands, if we have someone who is a Democrat or maybe even a moderate Republican, a rhino, if you will, that's representing our interests, that hates oil and gas and hates public access to public lands, that's a big deal.
It really is a big deal. We've been fighting battles, Steve, for years just to try to get a railroad here. And we're fighting these battles with people that aren't even a part of the state of Utah, that don't have any interest in our state. They don't care about our economy. They don't care about the people here. All they care about is their liberal talking points and wins. We have a Congress that often passes bills or takes parts of Utah to influence voters in other states and say, hey, look what we did. Vote for us. They don't care about what happens here. They don't care about our livelihood. Uinta County, Duchesne County, we are critical to our national security, the national defense. The oil and gas that is produced here is tremendous. And if we have even one more person, even one more liberal, impacts our ability to do that, to provide the safety and defense that our country needs through our energy here.
So, from a national perspective, as you were pointing out, we have a very fragile balance of power in the Utah House in the United States Congress. The vote in Utah could be the swing vote for many conservative pieces of legislation, which could impact our way of life here in northeastern Utah. Correct?
It could, and that's really part of the Democrat strategy. Is, you know, you pick up a seat in Utah, and it completely changes the dynamics. It's already a very small, a very narrow majority right now.
Another point I wanted to bring up, or a question that I have for you, out of the 19 counties which you mentioned that our new proposed district will encompass, how is a congressional representative supposed to be to all places, and is he going to be able to adequately represent the Uinta Basin's needs, along with Grand County's needs, along with San Juan County's needs, along with Washington County's needs? Or are we going to be lost and they're going to be Washington County's congressional representative and Summit County's representative?
You're absolutely right, Steve. They're going to go where the money is. They're going to, and when I say where the money is, where the donor money is. Right now, we have a great congressman, Mike Kennedy. He has been to the basin many times. I've spoken with him on many occasions here in Vernal. He cares about our economy. He cares about what's going on. He talks about us in Congress. He has, made proposals that impact us. But if anyone, it doesn't matter if it was Mike Kennedy or somebody else, if anybody has to represent 19 counties, they're very different. All of these counties are very different. Some are rural. Some of us have share obviously some similar interests. But Washington County is completely different. They don't share the same interests that Uinta County does. And I'm not speaking badly of Washington County, but it's difficult to represent both of those. And
their interests are different than ours.
They are.
I want to mention, you know this, Case, and that we've had a long history of having good conservative representation in Congress. And our congressman is closer to our needs, and they're here on a regular basis. Mike Kennedy, you couldn't ask for better representation at the meeting. Jason Chaffetz was before, I think, Bishop, right?
Yes.
And then if you go back far enough, we had Chris Cannon. They're all real solid conservative Republicans that were representing our area, and we've been well represented. And I think we've taken that for granted, and we're in jeopardy of losing that. So what can a person do right now?
Well, we really need people to get out and sign the petition to repeal Proposition 4. Contact your senators, contact your House representatives, and tell them that you want to see some changes. Tell them that we need to enforce the Constitution. We have three branches of government, Steve. The lieutenant governor is not part of the judicial branch. She's not part of the legislative branch. She's part of the executive branch. And she took an oath to uphold the state of Utah Constitution.
Right.
If people would reach out to her office and say, Lieutenant Governor, stand up, be that check and balance, that would be a change. The lieutenant governor has the ability to say to the judge, I'm not going to follow this order because it is unconstitutional in the state of Utah to follow your order. You didn't follow the process. It's a check and a balance. People need to let her know that. I don't know that she's going to do it, but I guarantee if she hears enough pressure, people, she'd be thinking about it.
How would someone find her office? How would they? What would they Google?
You can Google the state of Utah and then go to their site. There's a lieutenant governor link, and it has her office information. You can send an email. You can call the office. And I would say, if you're going to do that, please be respectful and polite.
Right.
We don't need to be like the liberals. We don't need to be threatening people. We don't need to be calling people names or doing any of that kind of stuff. Just be honest, be kind, be polite, and let them know that you want them to stand up for our Constitution.
Okay. All right. Kason Goodrich, we appreciate you being here. One other question just on my mind right now. What about the state seats? What about our state senator Winterton's area? I know it's not compromised by this particular map, but would the precedent be set that a judge could rule in favor of cutting up our Senate district here in northeastern Utah?
It's certainly a possibility. There hasn't been a lot of buzz about that, Steve. But within the state, the Democrats are always looking for ways that they can increase their numbers. So you're right that it does. The judge's ruling does set a precedent, and if it's not pushed back on, if it's not appealed, when we can appeal it, there is a scary precedent that is set here.
How incentivized is the state GOP of pushing this back and taking it all the way to the Supreme Court? Do they have funding, and do they have the will to do it?
There is funding. There's private funding that is there and backing this. The state, as far as the executive branch and the legislative branch, is against what the judge did, and they're prepared and ready to appeal this all the way to the Supreme Court. But again, it just comes back to, we got to wait on the judge to issue a ruling.
Right. All right. If you would like to take action on this, there's a couple of things you can do. You can get a hold of the Lieutenant Governor's office. That's available online. Place a polite phone call, and express your opinion on adhering to the Constitution, urging her to adhere to the Constitution, that you feel that this is in violation of the Constitution to allow a district judge to decide on our boundaries, our congressional boundaries. You can do that. You can also sign the petition this Saturday, tomorrow. Where are you at?
We'll be at Jiffy Pond in Vernal.
Okay. All right. Jiffy Pond in Vernal. So you'll be there from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock. Is that what I understand?
Yes.
Or if you're not in town or not able to do that, there are petitions available at Dan's Tire in both Vernal and Roosevelt, Brian Gorham State Farm offices in Vernal, and Paragon Oil Field Services in Roosevelt, and also Vengeance Power Sports in Roosevelt. Thank you, Kason Goodrich, for joining us right here on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL.